Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors here in this community of faith. And we want to say just a couple of words as we begin to move into worship. Pastor Linda and I have been at the annual gathering. It's called the Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church over the last, it feels like days, but really it's only been the last 2 days, and then we're there again today and then tomorrow as well, along with from our community, Jean and Stephen Starr. Becca Kramer Matter is there virtually this time because of some things that are happening, and then we are also there with Molly, who is there and getting ready to be appointed in July. That's code language in our world for she's going to be sent off to be a pastor in a community, and we'll share more about that in the next couple of weeks. Linda Ramirez, for those of us from the historic community here who might remember Linda, she's there representing another church community that she and her wife are part of now. Mallory Naik is walking in to be ordained right now in this moment. They're preparing to be there. Avery is off doing hospital, or Avery is away, and so our hospitality is being organized by folks baking bread, Annie at home, delivering it to Deirdre, Deirdre running it here to the church, so we have fresh communion bread. This is really a team effort this morning. Folks are stepping in to help out in all of these different ways, and including Bob and Tracy and Michael and Lynn. So deep gratitude for each person who is helping us. Corey is on his own back there as we sent Colette off last weekend. And amidst all of that, it is Pride here in Sacramento, and so we are celebrating as well and have been both yesterday and then again today downtown. So I'm going to invite us to move into worship now, and to do that, I want to invite you to just take a breath. And we're going to enter together in a song that is called Creation Song, and just invite this to be our prayer as we gather in this space. You are light and
Can we only know ourselves through trees? That is, must we know trees to know God? They too were storied with greatness, the tree of life we praised, and were just as soon undone, the tree of knowing planted a pace away. Nakedness prompted us to pass the blame, separation spreading from man to woman to snake, and left unsaid, but pooling at the base of the tree whose fruit sinners did make. Exiled then from the tree of life is the story we remember, but was it from God, from that grove, whose separation we most suffer? For it seems to me some dilemma we created, distance from the garden and its memory. We crown all power to our godly expeller, wherein love must then be source of calamity. Now, how often do we confuse shame with the God whom we first knew, convinced that exclusion breeds holiness, a scarcity of belonging making true, and do we burn down trees, because our pain inside is too great? Do we wish to punish the creatures that upended our sense of place? Is it telling that the tree was Empire's tool to kill a human god, and equally telling that evangelists chopped down the dancing bark you called holy source of love? White one, was that the wounding that built gallows for women with power and men with questions, and slave ships for families with strength and hope, and schools for children with deep understanding of Earth's rhythms, and an inescapable greenhouse now, filling up with gas? Are we too scared to call the garden's trauma into question and reclaim this hurting flesh to end shame's reckless pass? Could that tree of life and knowing share the same root system? Could the pomegranate's hanging be medicine for our contrition? Could the work of loving our shameful parts fully into existence be Eden, making plain some simple truths? For I believe God is persistent and imploring us to come forward, extracting ourselves from some rotten woodwork to breathe again the forest's oxygen and meet anew our maker, and actually to question who really fenced in the garden? Our own sense of unworthiness, or the world's most compassionate lover? From those first trees crowned with growth, arms pulsing with life source, water and carbon, did we miss God, my sibling, right there in the middle of the garden? In the rejection of our hunger, the reality of our aching need for one another, in the rejection of juice stripping, the reality of our humanness, one of sensuality, earthiness, wonder. Did we miss God? Could we be called then not to worship Jesus, but to follow him to the trees? To take and eat of a liberation too great to bear, to finally, together, be free?
We're going to sing a song called Somebody's Hurting My Brother, and there is a call and response to it. I think you'll pick it up, so we want to hear you sing back with us, all right?
Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
Yeah, it's gone on
far too long.
Said it's gone on
far too long.
Hey, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
And he won't be silent anymore. Somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
I said it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't
be silent anymore.
Somebody's poisoning the water, and it's gone on
far too long.
I said it's gone on
far too long.
It's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's poisoning the water, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we
won't be silent anymore.
Somebody's ignoring the homeless, and it's gone on
far too long.
I said it's gone on
far too long. too long.
Hey, it's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's ignoring the homeless, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore. No, no, no. Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
I said it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's gone on far too
far
long.
Far too long.
Oh, somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore. I said we won't be silent no more.
We won't be silent.
Amen, amen. Welcome, everyone. As Matt said, my name is Bob Martinez. On behalf of Avery and the entire congregation, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Central United Methodist Church. So we are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and, of course, online. This morning, we continue a four-week worship series that's called Look Who's Coming to the Table. You know, that was a great movie, you know? Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, Kate Hepburn. Great movie. Each week, our community of faith is welcoming a different prophetic voice to share how they see God's subversive spirit disrupting church as we've known it. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables, small groups which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. Each week we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors, and also searching scripture together with others. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. And we'll continue to share updates for our next opportunity, although it looks like it's showing the May 31st to July 5th sign up. So that's the current one, so stay tuned for updates from that. Our children grow in faith outdoors with story and art at 9:30 on Sunday mornings in the summer, and outside with loving childcare at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So during the summer, our regular godly play and children's ministers take a hiatus, a very richly deserved hiatus, from normally doing this during the week other than in the summertime. So we really beseech parents and adults to seriously think about the possibility of being a volunteer during the summertime at the 9:30 service. And if you can see it within yourselves to do it, we really would encourage you to sign up on our website today for a Sunday helping out with the children. And that would be much appreciated. As a community of faith, we reach and love in many ways, and we encourage you to join a community volunteer shift at Table Farm on Tuesdays, Fridays, and on Saturdays. A note for those of us who are gathering online at the table live, table.live, Chloe's there with you as a host. If you have any questions or need any assistance, please message her directly or share in the chat. When you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in to find a virtual seat to connect with others, much like going on Zoom. Now, our administrative board has a brief update for all of us to share this morning, and I want to welcome Derek Kirk to come on up and give us that update. Derek?
Good morning, everyone. For those that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Derek Kirk, and I serve as the lay leader this year on the Table's Administrative Board. Our administrative board recently invited our wider community of faith into deeper awareness of the challenges facing our global denomination through salon gatherings in May. Many of you participated. In fact, we had 102 people register to participate in those salon gatherings. And we're so grateful for the time in which we were able to not only affirm the core values and practices that we desire for the table to carry into God's unfolding future by rooting ourselves in a posture of prayerful discernment as we wondered together about possible next steps. It was also just a really fabulous opportunity to get out of our homes and to meet new people and just dialogue and engage with this really fabulous and incredible and loving community that we all are a part of here at the table. So I just want to express my thanks for those of you that were willing to participate either in person or live on the table.live on a Sunday evening in May and really just learn and reflect and engage with one another. We appreciated gathering, breaking bread, and meeting new people in intimate settings, both in person at the table farm and also online. We hope to share with you in worship this month some of the learnings and insights from these gatherings. And today, we want to identify two specific steps that we're taking. We told you all at those gatherings that we would be following up with some additional information. And again, we just want to make sure that you know the administrative board intends to be incredibly communicative with you all through this process. So first, we see a general desire to learn more about our global denomination, the United Methodist Church, and that was expressed quite a bit. Matt shared this morning about the annual conference that's taking place this weekend, and many of our community members are participating, but we have this general desire to learn more specifically about this thing that is the UMC that we are affiliated with, and so to that end, we've created a page on our website with some of the FAQs about the United Methodist Church, and we plan to update this page on a weekly basis. We also intend, we heard from many of you that you really enjoyed gathering in these kind of one-off types of settings, and so we intend to launch some UMC 101 style conversations in the coming months and with additional opportunities for us to just break bread together. That's me being selfish and saying I want to meet more of you and engage with you and break bread because that I just really enjoyed that experience. And second, with the new rulings and shifts, emerging frequently related to our denomination, we talked a lot about kind of the rocky road that is our denomination right now. Our administrative board has created what we're calling a discernment team, because if you participated in those events, we know that discernment is different than decision-making. So we have a discernment team from our administrative board that's going to focus on the future of the table in hopes of most faithfully keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus amid this storm. We committed to all of you that there was no decision that needed to be made immediately, and that those salon gatherings weren't going to result in a decision for our community moving forward, and we intend fully to keep that commitment to all of you, to keep the conversation and the bread and the beverages flowing as we continue our conversations. I would invite you, if you continue to have questions or want to have additional dialogue, to email layleader@thetableumc.org, and I'm happy to either set up a one-on-one conversation with you myself or ask another one of my administrative board colleagues to continue learning and dialoguing and sharing with you all as we figure out what the next steps are for our community of faith. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Derek, and we will stay tuned. So if you would like to learn more about our community of faith or stay in touch, please text the word NEW to the number that you see on the screen or go to the website, thetableumc.org, and find Connect Pop in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. We will now continue to move in worship, and I invite you to stand as you are willing and able and join our voices with our music team as they present Turning Over Tables.
Fear.
runs deep, spreading like a virus. Hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in the stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down the walls, building up the bridges between us all. Let courage be my willingness to listen, so I can feel the wound inside my heart. Let seeds of peace grow in hearts around us. That trees of hope give shade to humankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning open tables, breaking off chains. Tearing down the walls, building up the bridges between us all.
When will we stand for love? When will we stand for love? When will we stand for love?
Look and say,
when will we stand for
all the love?
Invite you to be seated, and we're going to encourage our youngest friends, if you are ready, to make your way outside. Sierra is there with Sarah, and we're going to share a story together outside in a circle, and then we'll be invited into some art, and our musicians will move down in just a moment. And we're aware that not all of our parents and guardians know that when you put a little code up on the screen, this has happened a few times in the past, that code corresponds with our children who are outside. And so if there's a code that flashes up there, that could be a signal for our folks that are watching over our young friends here to know that you might be needed outside there in the play yard. So I want to say just a quick word of introduction and welcome. Claudio Carvalhais is a Brazilian pastor and theologian. He is a friend and a mentor. I met Claudio many years ago when I was in seminary in New York City, and Claudio is now a professor at that same seminary. He's a professor of preaching at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, and he is a creative prophet for this day. We learned many things in pandemic. Uh-oh. Yeah, Claudio, thank you. Yes, Claudio is a mentor for us in a number of ways, sometimes through his writing and his preaching, and then also just through conversation as we were learning to try to figure out what it means to be church amid pandemic and now with unfolding of pandemic. Claudio helped us to dream about how we ritually come back into the building, having been away from it for over a year. So he was the person that helped us dream about kind of an initial ritual that helped us come back into this space, and then encouraged us to rethink communion from coming forward to the table to actually being out in part of creation. And so Claudio is the person that kind of helped guide us in that process. Claudio is going to come to us this morning. One of the things we learned in pandemic is how to use video. And so for the very first time ever, for most of us, our message is going to come not through Claudio here in the flesh, but through a video that he has shaped and is going to share with us this morning. So I'm going to stop talking, and this is Claudio Carvalhais.
Lamentations 3:19-24. I remember my woes and wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Those memories are so clear to me and they fill me with despair. And yet, it is because I remember all this that I have hope. God's favor is not exhausted, nor has God's compassion failed. They rise up anew each morning. So great is God's faithfulness. God is all I have, I cry. So I will wait in patience. My friends, what a joy. What a joy to be with you all here this morning. I wish I was there in person, but it's good even through Zoom. I hope that one day I will be there with you. I follow what you do, and I honor what you do, and your generosity, your openness, your expansive understanding of ministry and what church is to be all about, the ways in which you wrestle with the issues of our times, and how we witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a big fan of your pastor, Matt, and also am getting to know more about your wonderful pastor, Linda. You were blessed to have both of them. Well, I know the Methodists are now struggling with the LGBTQIA plus divisions and churches leaving the denomination. It is a sad time, but perhaps a necessary one. I went through that in my own church, the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA, and it was a sad moment. But I tell you, after that, there was so much room for other conversations. And we could finally honor the LGBTQIA plus people more fully than ever before. I was ordained in the Independent Presbyterian Church in Brazil, and once they said, no, the queer folks cannot be accepted, I had to write them a letter and say, I'm very sad, but I cannot stand with you anymore. If you cannot love this precious people, stand with you. We are living in difficult times, aren't we? I don't know about you, but it seems like everything is kind of falling apart, isn't it? We are so lost. There's a way in which the old ghosts haven't left yet, and the new ones haven't fully arrived. Or saying it in another way, by way of Gramsci, the Italian philosopher, the old world is dying and the new world struggles to be born. Now it's the time of monsters. And here, my friends, what I think we need to do, we need to learn how to live amidst monsters. Well, our churches are falling apart, aren't they? But perhaps it's necessary because the way it was built, it needs to change. And perhaps if it falls apart, it can start anew in a different way. We have to learn how to live in the midst of ruins. Our democracy is falling apart. And well, I mean democracy for us, right? Because for so many people in this country, there has never been democracy, in fact. the political places have been mostly dominated by white folks with money serving other white people with even more money. Politicians have become soldiers of private business. No wonder we can never change the legislation on guns, right? Despite all of the disasters and the death of our precious children, nothing changes. Politicians sustaining white supremacists who have been keeping power for centuries, politicians as patriarchal chauvinists ruling over women's bodies as if they knew anything about it. Even the Supreme Court has also been showing its true colors by now taking away the rights of women. We can understand the prophet Jeremiah saying, "I remember my woes and wanderings, the wormwood and the gall, the bitterness and the resentment. Those memories are so clear to me, and they fill me with despair." And if we had not had enough of those memories in our history, in our collective history, it's still piling up, still going on. Our economic system fuels despair instead of appeasing it. More and more, we have less people with money and very few people with way too much money. One of those billionaires have more money than 1 billion people. We are all shaped by liberal political systems that focuses on the individual, and it's hard to create communities this day, isn't it? All we have is our own self, and the empire of self rules everything. Social media is the reign of my rules and a breeder of impatience. Have you noticed on TikTok, if something doesn't catch your attention in 5-10 seconds, you're gone. We don't have patience with anything, with anybody. It's hard to be church. Hard to have patience with those we love. It's easy to cancel people and walk away. Oh, to be church today is painful. Because the church is a normal place to stay with people, to struggle, to wrestle with, to discuss, to debate. Church should be a place for solidarity, but solidarity only comes by way of struggling, discussion, debate, troubles, unsuccess, difficulties, even impossibilities. Without this unprogrammed wrestling, we can't build solidarity. Without real solidarity, you know what we have? We have just a feeble desire, a wishful thinking, positive energy, or mostly some coaching skills. You can make it. It doesn't last much. To be in solidarity and to be church today is way too hard. Yet, there's no way to survive in this world without being in a community. Those who are alone will vanish and nobody will pay attention. Churches and communities are our way out, even if they are going away. Because it is only there that we can be reminded, no matter what, we are still together and we have one another. At the table, we are reminded that the steadfast love of God never ceases. At the table, we are reminded that God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. At the table, we are reminded that great is God's faithfulness. So the church should still be the place where the Word, our world, our Word, and the world of God are all intermingled so that you can wrestle with. The confluence of those words and the trouble that we are living have to be all put together. That Word has to challenge you and me, our views of life. It has to help us with our frustrations with one another, with our city, with our country, with our world. This living together through the Word of God and the wisdom of each other is where we can find sustenance. that we can sustain ourselves as we go. If the word of God cannot contain the word of God that can change us, we'll never be open to be affected, transformed, and we'll never understand the preciousness of the LGBTQIA plus folks. Precious, wonderful as they are. Oh, friends, we have to always remind ourselves that we are the beloved community. And to be the beloved community, we have to go through pain and difficulties together. I'm not making any apology for pain, but it is part of life and we have to go through it together. So we can turn that pain in glory, into sustenance, in ways of a fabric that can keep us together. But it is too hard to be church these days. We are always battling two forms of community life. Our capitalistic society doesn't allow us to be affected by anyone in need. In fact, we are learned to despise them because they are there because of their own bad choices. The beloved community instead is deeply affected by those suffering and decides instead to get closer to them. Be them the poor, colored people, the disenfranchised, the queer, the gay, the trans, nature, rivers, forests, birds, everything that is disaffected is what the beloved community are called to go after in solidarity. Deeply affected by them. Instead of the capitalist society will say, why am I brother's keeper? And the beloved community doesn't ask that, but instead it asks, what do you need? We are here for you and with you. The capitalist society is organized around profit and competition. The beloved community is oriented towards deep sharing and solidarity. But there is so much that needs to happen until we get to be the beloved community. Our churches are still oriented by this society and not by the needs of the people. We are more concerned with money, with assets, with budgets, and not what people need. There's a distinction between what people need and what the budget we have tells us. There's a difference there. There's so much to change, my friend, and shift and move until we show up to be the community of God fully. I pray that the table keeps stretching itself to continue to be a beloved community. Because when we become that community, we can all say together, God is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in God. Can we say it together? Say after me. God is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in God. Now, I want you to turn to the people next to you and say the same thing. Now in the plural. Turn to the person and say, God is our portion, says our soul. Therefore, we will hope in God. Now, half my way through my sermon here, I want to get to the main point. You know, as you know, black preachers and Latinx preachers, this would be just the introduction, but I promise I will stick to my allotted time given to me. But why all I have said to you is fundamental to how to be the church today. What I really wanted to share with you is about the ways in which we are living that it is destroying the earth. and putting us into an unimaginable dangers. Scientists are telling us that we only have between 3 to 6 years to revert the ways we are living before we hit the point of no return. And we will lose the climate balance that we have until now. It took millions of years, for the Earth to find this absolutely perfect, perfect way of living. All the atmosphere and the perfect way to breathe and to live. Billions and small tiny cells showing up and reproducing themselves in other billions of different forms, and then reproducing itself and becoming billions of other forms of living beings, plants producing air, water producing life, all of this wonder. Can you hear the birds? Isn't that amazing? Due to all that wonder, we can breathe in a very complex body, in a very complex and wonderful place called Earth. Oh, the Earth right there, my friends, is nothing but a miracle. We are a miracle. How many times have you paused to silently wonder about your life and everything that is around you? I always wonder when I wake up and I say, my goodness, I'm alive. My God, how is that possible? When I see my kids, my wife, my dog moving around me, I ask, how is that possible? My God. When I eat fruits, vegetables, and delicious food, we have to ask, my God, how is this possible? When I see trees of so many kinds and the wisdom they carry, I have to ask God, my God, how is that possible? When you look at the variety of cultures and knowledges, skins, sexualities, places, backgrounds, paths of life, we have to ask, my God, how is this possible? When we plunge into the ocean, or we take a shower, or see a river, or drink water, my God, how is this possible? I wanted to show you 4 trees. This is a cherry tree, right? No, what is this one?
Redbud.
A redbud. A cherry tree is the one that we're gonna buy for next year. This shows how much I know this. But here's one thing I know. I know that we have to plant trees for the future. Red buds, cherry trees, all kinds of trees that we need according to the place we live. They are here as a counteract to what we hear about climate disaster, who are saying, there's very little we can do. No, this tree is showing us. It's been 2 years that it's been here. And it's showing that it's alive. It's alive. Let me show you another one. Come here with me. And all of the birds and the wonders. And now, these 3 small trees that I just planted 2 weeks ago. They were much smaller. 2 weeks. It's a peach tree. It's a gala apple. And the other one is Red Delicious or?
Empire.
Empire. Because I learned that apples need to cross-pollinate, and they need each other. Next year, we are planting 3 more. I want to make this a little bit of a forest for us to engage. And when I was planting these trees, I was reminded of Ruben Alves, a Brazilian theologian who once said that we plant trees not for ourselves, but for the future generations. We plant trees for our grandchildren to eat and to enjoy the shade. And that has to do with what indigenous people say, that we are responsible for 7 generations. The tree before us, our generation, and the 3 generations that are coming after us. What is the world that we are leaving to our kids? When I see these trees, I go, oh, wow, my God, how is this possible? And my friends, we cannot lose this wonder of life with life, because if we lose this wonder, we are with all of the living creatures, with the sky, with the worms, with the birds, with the animals, we are half dead. And you, my friends, if there's no wonder at the table, around the table, shut down the church. It's pointless. If there is no wonder, you have become bureaucrats of faith, and the life of God has already left you. I'm reminded of Proverbs 9:10 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And I would add, the wonder with God's creation is the beginning of healing. To be in awe with God's creation is to start to care for it and change our ways of living. And because we are getting into a scary time and a time of too many losses, we are already piling up with grief and mourning due to COVID and the way we feel about losing so many things. Besides, we are devouring the earth at such pace that we are all going to see disasters upon disasters happening to us. You're not talking about 100 years of something happening anymore, my friend. Scientists are talking about 10 years and all the ice caps are gonna melt. We have 3 to 6 years to change before the no turning point. You in California are at the heart of those changes. You are feeling the heat and the heat. You. Just last May, I was in Lake Tahoe with a bunch of pastors, and we went one of those places where the fires happened last year. We went there and did a service of mourning for those trees and all the landscapes that were burned and dead. It was devastating. You carry that grief in your heart. What kind of future? If we are not paying attention to what's happening, what kind of future are we going to have for our children? So today I come to you, my friends, with a challenge. A challenge that you will make your church a front runner in the ecological struggle. You are sitting at the heart of the precariousness of our climate change, climate disaster times. You are seeing drought, fires, pollution, and terrible air quality. And more is coming. You are the ones who can teach us what is happening, how it looks like, and how it feels like to be in such a situation. You can be one of the canaries of the mine before we become the last canaries of the mine in this dead zone. You can plunge into the gospel of Jesus Christ and re-examine this gospel in the light of the calamity. You can help us with ways of engaging the earth, of perceiving the earth, and recreating forms of living that can help us approach this time. My friends, you already have the table. You already have the table farm and table bread. Make this more ample. Teach us about soil. Teach us about seeds. Teach us about water. Teach us about land. Be a movable church and go where the fires are, where the droughts are, where the undocumented immigrants are. Create new rituals about them and tell us how we can do. But don't forget to play. Don't forget the wonder Don't forget to smile. Don't forget to drive your imagining cars or whatever. Your symbol is the table, and a table where people can play. A table where people pay attention to different things. The table is an expensive symbol. It entails a meal, a gathering, a richness of encounters, an unpredictable encounters. Your table is bigger than any denomination. Your table is bigger than what we have received. It is that, but it's more. It is what you're going to do and what you are becoming. Your table has to talk about the woods and the trees that are murdered everywhere. Just in Brazil, 1.5 million trees are murdered every day. What do you have to do about the trees in California? You must connect the table to your patch of land, to where you stand. What is the vegetation where you are? What is the specifics of the land that you need to learn about? And then speak from your faith to take care of the land. The earth comes first. The table has to be a place where nobody goes hungry. Tissa Balarusia, a Sri Lankan Catholic theologian and priest, once said, "I don't understand why people go hungry where people do the Eucharist, where people celebrate the Eucharist." For him, his mind, he couldn't connect hunger with the bountifulness of the table. Turn the table into a place where everybody can eat. May you shout every Sunday when you share the meal, "Nobody go hungry here." Not spiritually only, bodily too. Nobody go hungry. What about the water, the table, the tree? The table to become a table needs to be a tree, and the tree needs water. How do you care for the water? How do you wonder about water? The more we go into climate change, the more we see some fear and exasperation and anxiety of the things we are seeing going, disappearing and dying. That's why, along with plunging into climate change and disasters, we need to learn about the peace of God and the peace of the wild things. There's a video of a poem by Wendell Berry called "The Peace of All Things." Let us watch it.
The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Isn't this beautiful? Our text for today says, "I remember my woes and wanderings, my warm wood and the gall. Those memories are so clear to me, and they fill me with despair. Yet it is because I remember all this that I have hope." That means, my friends, that we look back Like Walter Benjamin would say, you look back and disasters are piling up. We look now and so much is falling apart. But Jeremiah is saying, it is because of death that I have hope. Why? Because of all what have happened and all what is happening, and I'm still here, he says. God is all I have. That's why we can keep hope. Because God has brought us this far. So I finish with this challenge, my friends, to discover the peace of the wild things within you. And discover that carries the grace. And the grace of God is everywhere, in every leaf, in every drop of water, in every living creature, the grace of God is present. May the table be a place where you will carry yours and the future generations to keep on going so that you can provide for the future generations that are still going. So I pray that you discover the peace of wild things and the peace of God that drenches all of our hearts, keep with you and bless you and continue to be a beacon of light and hope in all you do. All the blessings to you.
Sometimes, at least right now, I'm wondering if when Jesus gathered folks around the bread and the cup, if he had kind of Claudio's voice.
Definitely his hair.
Definitely his hair. Inviting those that were right there with him to wonder and be in awe. Not about something out there, but about our inner connection made known in bread and cup. Tying us one to another and to God's creation. And so I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we will move, preparing our hearts and our minds in what the church calls a prayer of confession. Claudio has called us into the deeps of all that must be confessed, the ways that we have gone astray in our living and in our being. And this prayer comes to us from Native American scholar and activist Vine Deloria. And so I invite us to join our voices, our hearts together as one, as we pray. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
Hear these ancient words of assurance which come to us from a first century prayer. So that's the looking back that Claudio was talking about, yeah? May we show ourselves to those in need. May we heal the sick. May we fill the hungry, I would add, so that no one goes hungry here. May we give freedom to our prisoners and console those faint of heart. This way of Christ's beauty and love is all of ours. Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. This day and evermore. Let's say amen.
Amen, amen. I invite you to join with us in the call and response, the practice of the church to recognize the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. God are the giver of every good thing. You created the visible world and all she contains. You inebriated her with inexhaustible springs, and you said then, let us make humanity in our own image. You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement, and you brought us into this paradise of delights, but we scorned your commandment, and you rightly thrust us forth from paradise. But you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in the bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit in our baptismal font, in the bread and in the cup are fire and spirit. Christ's body is newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood poured into the veins of creation. Christ's voice in our ears and brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ is woven with the whole of creation.
Let us pray together the words that Jesus shared with his closest companions. They have been passed through the ages and changed and morphed and moved and grown, and they are paraphrased for us this day from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray.
Eternal Spirit,
Earth maker, pain bearer,
life giver,
source of all that is and that shall be. Father and mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us.
In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us.
In times of temptation and test, spare us.
From the grip of all that is evil, free us.
For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and upon the gifts which are before us. Make this for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through this feast, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. Here at the table, all truly does mean all. We also encourage everyone who is with us from home, who is here online among us, to come bring close to you your bread and your cup. We want to, if you are here in the sanctuary, remind you that we will be moving out of doors into God's beautiful creation. See if you can hear the trees and listen for the birds. You will go out this door as you're directed by Michael, is that right? And then just come around and re-enter the back of the sanctuary. There are places to kneel all around our sanctuary to be in prayer. Prayer can also mean silence and listening for God's voice. We want you to remember there's nothing you can do to make a mistake. Watch those around you and watch over those around you. And we are together in God's divine dance again this day.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for creation.
The body of Christ broken for you, Matt, and the cup of God's love poured out for you and the whole world.
Amen.
Amen.
We encourage those still praying with candles to take as long as you need. And God, we give thanks for the depth of the holy mystery through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and the sacred act of breaking bread. May we be woven in the threads of your grace that we might know ourselves as a part, beloved parts of your creation. We offer this in our lives, in your creative ways, in many names. Amen. We do want to encourage you to continue wondering about how God might be calling you to respond to God's love, whether that is giving generously to support our ministries here at the table, whether that's taking off from here to celebrate Pride with new friends downtown, whatever that might look like for you in this moment. We are going to go out, though, in song, which feels like coming back into Claudio's message. It's that looking back on the trauma of the world that has brought us to this moment at kind of the chaos and the mess of the world around us, and finding that looking back and looking where we are, God is calling us into a future with hope, for indeed it is God's joy, God's peace, God's sustenance that holds us now and always. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we are going to sing that into being. So may you go from this place with true wonder and awe about all of creation around us and about the belovedness of God within, and may that sustain and keep you this day, that we may truly know the joy and the peace and the love that is God. Go in peace. Amen.